This is Firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing the new spicy Cajun chicken sub. Cajun seasoned grilled chicken breast, zesty cherry peppers, and house-made Cajun mayo. Just $5.55 for a medium. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax. Participating locations. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Feral Audio.
From New York City, it's the Todd Berry Podcast. The Todd Berry Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Berry Podcast. It's been a while. I don't know what my excuse is for not doing another episode sooner, but I'm sure that I have a good one. Anyway, let's do some tour dates real quickly. July 26th through the 30th. I'll be at the Just for Last Festival in Montreal. 31st, I'm going to be somewhere in Toronto for the Just for Last Festival. August 6th, I'll be at the Open Highway Festival in St. Louis. Cobbs in San Francisco, August 12th and 13th, four shows. Dante's in Portland, Oregon, August 25th. And then the YYC Comedy Festival, I don't even know what that stands for, in Calgary on September 28th. There'll be more dates added. Go to toddberry.com. Also, Todd Berry t-shirts are for sale. You can buy one. We're using a new company now, so you will get a shirt. There's no quotas or anything like that. And I'm trying to find the URL here. I think this is it. Is this it? Oh, man. I think it's toddberry.com/shirt. And I think, yes, it is. toddberry.com/shirt. And you can get a Todd Berry t-shirt. Yeah. And go to feralaudio.com for this podcast, a lot of other podcasts. And you can support the artists on Feral Audio. You heard me, artists, by going the Support Our Artists tab, which is actually an Amazon link. So whatever you're buying on Amazon, if you buy stuff on Amazon and you'd like to use that link, a certain percentage of it will go to the hosts. And, yeah, I think that's it. Oh, Ricky Lindholm is on the show today. I once did an episode with her in San Francisco with her in... And Kate, Garfunkel and Oates, and the podcast didn't record for some reason, and they didn't make a backup, so it's gone forever. But we sort of redid it with Ricky. And here she is, Ricky Lindholm. Welcome back to New York, Ricky.
Hi.
You were just here.
I've been here like once a week. Like about every other week I've been here this summer, just on and off.
Why is that?
Just doing like press stuff for another period, but I'll get like one thing and then they'll be like, guess what? A week and a half, you have something else. And a week and a half, you have, like, you know, some people do it all at once, but mine's just been spread out.
Do you have, but it's great though, right?
It's great. So this morning, Natasha Leggero and I did the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Celine Dion.
Oh my God.
They interviewed us.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
I heard Celine Dion's really nice.
She was nice. And so was Kathy.
Yeah. I imagine they would.
She's like kooky. Celine, she's like very like silly.
Really?
I expected her to be very serious.
What time did you have to wake up for that?
It was a pre-tape that's going to air tomorrow. Oh. So my Today Show was at noon.
Oh my God. That's,
so lucky.
Like, the hosts are like asleep by noon.
I know. Can you imagine having to get up at like 2 a.m. every day?
It's like Howard Stern, I think, goes to bed at 8 o'clock at night. Did you do Howard Stern?
No, I wish. I would love to be on Howard Stern.
When did you, you just did some Serious Today though, Serious?
Yes, we did the, what's it called? The Raw Report on Raw Dog.
Okay.
Have you done that?
I don't know.
It was fun.
I like going up there to Serious.
I do too.
Did you see any celebs there?
I didn't see anyone, but I knew who they were. There was someone like posing on the red carpet that looked like, just like clean or something, like spruced up. Like they had, it was a guy, but he looked like he had professional hair and like, I was like, he's probably a celebrity.
He's a magician.
Yeah.
Sounds like a magician.
He looked like maybe an athlete or something. He was very tall, but I don't know. I wouldn't know an athlete, you know.
Right. Neither. I don't. Mm-hmm. I often don't even count them when I ask if someone has seen any celebrities.
Right. An athlete. Were there any celebrities or athletes?
Unless it's Muhammad Ali or one other person who I can name.
Yeah. Are there any athletes I'd be like, whoa, I guess maybe like Michael Jordan. I'd be like, that's cool. Yeah.
I would know who he is.
Yeah.
So have you ever thought of living here in New York?
I've thought about it, but I don't have like, I just don't have that many friends here and I don't love cold weather.
Oh.
I'm from Buffalo.
Oh.
And so I did my time. Like,
yeah.
I've done snow. I've done it. I'm over it.
Buffalo's hardcore.
Buffalo's hard. Yeah. It's like, I remember just like every morning having to like run out to my car, or my dad having to run out in the morning, and like you have to turn your car in for like half an hour before. My school was a 5-minute ride, but your car won't go unless it's been running for half an hour. So it's just like, and like I remember I was on swim team and like walking to my car, my mom's car after swim team, my hair would freeze on the way to the car.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. I'm just done with snow. That's... Yeah.
Because I was in Buffalo not too long ago, and I was like, I do this in every city. I go, I wonder what it'll cost to live here.
Oh,
and then you start going on, you go,
so
oh my,
cheap.
I look up lofts. I always go for lofts. In my fantasy world, like, I can't live in a loft in New York because I can't afford one, but I bet I could live one. And then Buffalo, it's like, oh my God, I could easily live. But then I was like, I don't want to deal with that. Fucking.
That's the problem. Yeah, you can buy a house in my hometown for $40,000 if you want.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. In you know, certain areas and stuff you can, but it's very small and it's very cold.
Do you go back there?
Sometimes. I actually went back a few weeks ago, but it's not often. You know, it's like only in the summer, only when it's really nice, because it's just too cold.
Right.
People, they come to California or we meet in Florida.
Oh.
Yeah. My parents live down there now, so we
Where do they
all,
live?
They live in Naples.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I've been in Naples.
Have you?
Western, Central. Did you take, Alligator Alley to get to Naples? Oh, I guess you wouldn't have to because you would fly there.
I think so. I don't know what that is. What
it's
is
this
that?
Long, incredibly boring stretch of highway that just goes from the east to the west of...
And there's a bunch of alligators.
There's no, you don't have, no, I mean, that would make it a little more, that would make it less boring.
Right. Wait, like, why were you in Buffalo? Were you playing Helium?
I played a sort of a music venue.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It wasn't like a concert hall. It was kind of down and dirty.
Mm-mm. Did you have buffalo wings?
You know, I didn't. It's weird because I was thinking about that.
So good.
Like,
there.
How did I get out of there without? Because I like them.
Yeah, you got to go to Anchor Bar. It's
see,
it
now,
is, they're truly amazing there.
It's one of those places where you bring that up and people are like, no, don't go to Anchor Bar. Then someone else would got to go to Anchor Bar. And you
okay,
go,
there's a second one. I can't
Duff's,
remember the name.
Right?
Yes, which is also supposed to be very good. I haven't been there. I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
I'm sure those two are the two best in the country, but I've only been to the one.
Do you eat them?
Yeah. In Buffalo. I don't really eat them in regular life because I don't think of them, but when I'm in Buffalo, I do.
Do you cook?
No, never.
Never?
Do you?
No, I don't.
I don't cook at all. For
I like the idea of cooking.
Any reason. I like was going to make frozen pizza like 4 months ago, and I just got it burned my arm so badly on the stove, and I was like, you know what? That's my last time cooking.
See, I like that you count that as cooking.
That's the closest I get.
So what do? You order in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or I get groceries delivered and just have like, you know, a sandwich or something.
Damn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't go to the grocery store, huh?
No. Nope.
Holy shit.
No.
Are you that famous or you just don't like to go?
I just don't like domestic things. I don't spend money on a lot of stuff, but like I do like spend money on the things that make my life that I really hate.
Yeah.
Like I really hate going to grocery stores.
Right. House cleaner.
No. What?
House cleaner?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That was when I felt like, ooh, like when I had a housekeeper coming every 2 weeks, I was like, I feel like I have job security. Like I felt good.
That's one of those things that's actually, especially for people, we're not roommate people, but if you have roommates, especially, like it's actually cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, if you all chip in, there's mm-hmm. always one person, I think, in every roommate situation. Like, I don't know. That's extravagant. You're like,
you guys need more food. You guys miss. Yeah.
Like throw $20 down and
have a clean house.
And a clean apartment.
Live
without
in a clean house.
Being on your knees.
Right. Because that's the same roommate who won't clean it.
Right.
Probably.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Syracuse.
Oh, I think I knew that.
Did you? I went for a couple years. It was really cold. I was not like, it wasn't for me. And then I just kind of left.
Oh, so you quit.
Well, I ended up graduating early. So I was basically there for like 2.5 semesters. And then I went to like a semester abroad and then I was done.
Where'd you go abroad?
London. But I wanted to quit. I was just like, after my first year, I was like, I don't think college, this isn't for me. And I don't know. And then I was like, my mom was like, go one more semester. Like you need an education. I was like, I want one more semester. And then I was like, okay, I'm dropping out. And my mom figured out a way that if I did five semesters there, I could get my degree. And I was like, all right, fine. So I stayed.
So you have a bachelor's degree with?
in something. I don't even know. Some kind of communication.
You don't know what your own major?
Yeah, I use every. I actually don't know what the major ended up being. It's some kind of like, because it was a hodgepodge that my mom put together. Uh-huh. Some communications. My major might be electronic media, which is hilarious from 1997 because nothing could apply.
Right. It's TVs.
Yeah. There's like no internet back then, really. Not in any meaningful way.
Dana, I just did a show in Syracuse also.
Did you? Was it fun?
Yeah. Well, not a lot of people showed up, but it was at a place called Lost Horizon.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that place?
Mm-mm.
I think it's another down and dirty punk rock club.
I was depressed in college. I didn't do anything.
No?
I didn't go anywhere. I think I went to like one football game and I was like, oh, and then maybe that's it. I don't know. I just didn't do anything.
Do you do stuff alone?
Sometimes. Yeah. I go to movies alone.
You do?
Do you do stuff alone?
Yeah, I do.
I know. I feel like you would be okay with that.
I am okay with it to a certain extent. And then at some point I go, man, I don't want to do it all the time.
Yeah. You're like, I got
to
get some
more. Will you go out to eat alone?
No.
No?
Well, no, unless it's like, if I'm getting lunch somewhere, like I wouldn't go to like a fancy restaurant by myself. I think I'd feel dumb.
Would you go to Jones on 3rd?
I probably, oh gosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was thinking Jones on Santa Monica, which is kind of fancy. Oh. Jones on 3rd. I would go there. Yeah.
Okay.
I would like be in a book the whole time or something on my computer.
I just alienated everyone who's not from West Hollywood.
So there's a lunch spot called Jones and a dinner spot called Jones. I would go to the lunch spot Jones, not the dinner one.
Yeah, that's. I like that place. It's very casual, very mm-hmm. well organized.
Mm-hmm. Cupcakes.
Let's talk about. So another period is the second season.
Yeah, it's second season's airing now, and then we start writing the third season. And
so you already got renewed.
Yeah, we got renewed before it aired, which is crazy. Before the second season aired.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, apparently, to us, but I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah, it was a big surprise.
That's because I remember years ago, our friend Natasha. Mm-hmm. She was just went on this trip. She was like, "Yeah, I'm going to Newport, Rhode Island by myself." Kind of fact-finding mission. I go, that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at that. It all paid off.
Yep.
Was that a hard show to sell? Because did people go?
It was so hard to sell. Like, well, basically what happened was, you know, Natasha and I came up with the idea and then we were so excited. But then we started to write it. We're like, okay, let's make a short. Sorry, I'm kicking something
down.
Sorry. We were like, okay, we want to sell this. We want to make it a TV show. But we're like, let's make a short because I don't think people are going to understand what we're going for because we wrote this script that we thought was really funny, but there's like a scene where it's basically like these two characters, Frederick and Beatrice, they look at each other and then they decide they're gonna have sex, and then one of them just lifts their arms and a bunch of servants undress them, and then it takes a really long time for them to undress, and then they get together. But on the page it's just like it takes a long time for them to undress. It's not that funny,
right?
And in the short it's like this 5-minute scene where we're just going like slower, and like people are just, there's so many people taking our clothes off, and like we're just like, we had to make it. So we made a short. And then with our same director we have now, it was like maybe like 12 minutes. Like it was a real presentation. It was like same costumes, same locations, like full. But we put like all of our money into it. It was.
So this is a total spec thing, right?
It's total spec. And then we went out and tried to sell it and everybody said no. Everybody passed. Everyone was like kind of interested. They're like, that could be funny. And everybody passed.
I could see people going, that's a great idea. But what about young people? They're not going to relate to it.
Right. Which they don't really. They didn't say that. So here was the thing. Okay. So we were like really bummed. And then I called my agents and whatever, and I was like, can we get feedback? Like, why didn't they buy it? Like, everyone was you know when it goes really well. I'm just like, everyone was laughing. Like, what's going on? And everyone had the same feedback. They're like, oh, we just don't see where it could go. And so we're like, oh, okay, well, let's show them where it'll go. And we wrote a pilot script. We spent like 6 months. We wrote a pilot script, and we made a whole Bible, like a 40-page Bible about every season, where it would go, every character, and just like how, you know, just what would happen. And and then we like brought it back to our managers and stuff were like, we want to take it out again. And they're like, people already passed or whatever. And so we took it to this producer, Debbie, and she's like, I'll take it out with you. And we took it out and sold it. So
that's great.
Yeah. And then we made the pilot, and then another 6 months went by, and then they finally picked it up. So it was a long journey.
So that sounds like 12 years.
Yeah, it was years, which is why it's so awesome.
See, it doesn't seem like it's years because it feels like she just went there maybe 2 years ago, but maybe she did.
It was like 4+ years. But it's the great thing though is getting the season 3 just feels so like we don't have to like keep like trying. Like we get to sort of like relax and just have fun making something.
When you pitched it, did they say anything like, do you see, where is the show going to be in 7 years or something like that?
I mean, they didn't say that, but then when we asked for the feedback, they didn't say, but it's funny because when you hear that feedback, you're like, oh yeah, I guess I wouldn't see where it would go either. Like, it just seems so like a sketch. Like, I totally got their point of view, which is, mm-hmm. you're just like, oh, I completely would feel the same way. And so, yeah, we just showed them where it would go in our next presentation, so they didn't have to ask.
So you got, man, you hit every angle.
Every angle.
Did you anticipate? You go, what questions are they going to ask us? Is that what you did?
Well, it's weird. We spent so, like, Natasha and I just got obsessed. We just got, like, so into it. We spent so long working on it. And, like, we're not ready. By the time we got to the pitch, when they would ask us a question, we'd be like, no, no, no. See, Blanche used to be a princess. And then what happened was we just kind of knew everything about every character. Uh-huh. So there wasn't, like, we didn't even have to be like, what are they going to ask? Because we just had written it all out.
That's great. Are you guys going to tour together?
Me and Natasha?
Yeah.
Well, I don't do stand-up alone. I do.
That's right.
With Kate, so.
What's going on with you guys? You and
we're
Kate?
Playing Vegas on the 23rd in 2 days.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Is that like a one-off kind of a?
Yeah. And then, we have a couple other shows coming up this summer, but we haven't played in a little bit. We haven't played for like 6 months because I've been doing another period and Kate's been doing movies. So it should be interesting. I feel so rusty. Like, I hope it goes. I'm excited. You know, we've been rehearsing a lot because.
Where are you playing in Vegas?
Venetian. Do you know that Lipstick show? It's a show that they have where every month or week or whatever, it's a different female comedian. So it's just all women.
Oh, mm-hmm. So I can't do that gig.
Nope. You just have to play the regular Vegas gigs.
Have you done Vegas before?
Only Lipstick. We've done it twice.
Okay.
And so this is our third time.
Is it a friendly environment?
Yes.
Because Vegas friendly. Can be a little, you know.
No, it's nice. It's like, as long as you like let the bachelorette parties know that they're not funny or interesting, then right off the bat, then it's good.
How do you do that? I mean, I know how I do it.
So basically, I go out and I'm like, so is anyone here, like, I think I saw some, like, bachelorette parties. Is anyone here, like, and people start screaming, like, okay, so it's, okay, good. You guys seem normal. I'm like, at least you're not one of those type of bachelorette parties. They're like, it's all about me. Like, woo! And I kind of do that. Like, I make fun of other bachelorette parties that, quote unquote, aren't them.
Right.
And that kind of, like, makes them behave.
Oh, that's manipulation.
Yeah. But it works. And nobody is like, sing a song for Tracy, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's not like, it's like, yeah, hey, I know you guys aren't assholes, but right. I'm just letting you know that there's sometimes.
Right.
And this is what assholes do.
Yes.
And then they go, I guess we can't be assholes.
Totally. I'm like, thank God that's not you guys.
That's
though.
A good.
It's good, right?
It's a good preemptive.
Yeah. And they know not to be drunken assholes, and they haven't been.
Do you get a lot of bachelorette parties?
In Vegas.
Right.
Not really anywhere else. Not, I mean, maybe once in a while, but not really. Do you?
I kind of have lucked out, not lucked out, but I've come to a point where I just will do venues where it's very unlikely a bachelorette party is going to show up.
Bachelor party?
Even that. Because right. if I do like a music venue and it's kind of purely, for the most part, fans,
right.
maybe not a ton of them, but I guess occasionally, but yeah, I mean, occasionally I'll run into it. But I, that whole thing of, you know, acknowledging, like, I would just never would go to a show. Even on my birthday,
right.
and go, hey, before you sing that song, something you might want to know.
it is weird when people are like, it's a even like I kind of guess get it at a small venue where the lights are bright or something, but like at a big venue when people are just like, Tammy's birthday. I'm like, why would you think that's okay? Like,
I've done that, yeah, where you do like a pretty theater. And
yeah,
you're like, really? Did you not look around when you walked in?
Yeah, like everyone else is like trying to enjoy a show. Like, why are they yeah. don't care that it's Tammy's? I don't care. Tammy probably is embarrassed. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Yeah,
yeah. That's well, Tammy might not be embarrassed, but
that's true.
She's probably, she was probably she's probably yeah she could be though.
Did you read Jessie Klein's book?
No, I didn't.
It's really funny, but she talks about how like. Someone at the when she's about to get on a plane and someone at the airport like says, oh my gosh, it's this girl's birthday, and everyone about to get on the plane sings her happy birthday, and she's like, that's so cool. Then she gets on the plane and apparently no one had told the stewardess that they'd already sang it to her in the airport, and so they want her to they're on the plane and some guy's like, we already sang it, and then they just didn't sing it. She just took the whole plane like, ride. Many, like, oh,
how many times do we have to sing happy birthday to the stranger
right
just to fly home?
And she probably seemed like she wanted them to, you know, she's like, oh god.
Speaking of flying, how's your frequent flyer game going?
It's really good.
What do you got?
It's really well. It's I kind of switched over. I used to do Virgin, and now I'm like mostly doing JetBlue. And
really?
Yeah.
Have but you I've done their first class.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good? I heard it's good.
It's really good because JFK to LAX, like you always get a bed.
Wow.
Which is yeah, guaranteed bed is like I never know when things will have beds or not.
Right. Sometimes there's that, and this is a real privilege complaint, but there's that, you know, people talk about as bad first class on United. I'm like, oh, I'm sure it's terrible.
But it's like, if you're going to pay that much money, that's why, like, I feel like no, like, Starbucks guilt when I'm like, I want a grande ice, non-fat, because I'm like, no, it's like $5. Like, if I was paying like 50 cents for a cup of coffee, you can give me whatever. But like, if you're paying for first class, you want it to be good. Otherwise, right. You'll just go regular.
So you're JetBlue and you're, you do Mint?
Yep, and I do Virgin, too. I like Virgin.
Those are both good airlines.
I like the Virgin theme song. That's kind of my thing that keeps drawing me to it.
I haven't flown Virgin in a while because they only fly to like four cities.
But you never heard the theme song? The safety song?
No, they used to have one. The last time I flew Virgin, they had the sort of like guy, I'm sure they told him to act like Dennis Miller, and he's like, for those of you who don't know how to use a seatbelt. For the 0.0001 of you who don't know how to use a seatbelt,
they have that joke in the
they do?
In the theme song. They must have like stolen their
proud
own joke.
Of that one.
Yeah, it's when it's like, tonight, get ready to fly, because we're gonna live it all up
so
in the sky.
So that's how they do the safety instructions.
Oh yeah, it's this whole song, and then like under your seat, there's a life vest. It's a whole. There's a rap.
You gotta wonder if that diminishes the seriousness of life-saving advice.
Well, I mean, no one listens to it anyway.
I know, yeah.
So
maybe that sinks in better.
It might. I mean, Kate McCucci and I, when we fly, we know all the words pretty much, and we just sing it. We love it.
Yeah, it's a good airline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about, do you do the hotel points also?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Oh,
I know it's such a waste. I need to figure it out.
What are your questions?
I got a Starwood credit card, and I cannot figure out how to get the points. Like, I just actually need someone who can, like, I can't log in, and they're like, sorry, your login's, like, I don't understand it.
Really?
Yes. I can't access the points, and I don't know why. And I keep forgetting to do so.
Yeah, I think that's a phone call to them after I just offered to help.
Yes.
But my advice here is to call them up.
Something got locked out.
You could have, like, killer. You could have, like, vacation in Hawaii. Do you
really?
Take vacations?
Not really. I should. I can't remember my last one. Oh, wait. You know what? I went to London last summer.
I love London.
I love it.
I was just there a few weeks ago.
What'd you do?
I did the Soho theater.
Oh my gosh, did you have so much fun?
I did have, yeah, for the most part I did have fun.
Did you see any plays? Or I guess you were working.
No,
every
I show every night.
Right.
And I've never seen theater in London.
Really?
It's great though, right?
It's great. I mean, it's just like New York.
Could you live in London?
Maybe. I did for a semester in college, my last semester in college, but I was still kind of depressed, so I didn't make the most of it.
Oh, were you going through a phase of depression?
Yeah, I was. It was my pre-medicated college phase.
Oh, so you're medicated.
Yes, I am. Much better now. But yeah, during college, it was just like kind of a waste. But now when I go to London, I like see as many places as I can.
Should I be medicated, you think?
I don't know. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
Never?
Never.
I feel like most of my friends are on something.
It scares me.
It should. It's weird.
Because you just, you know, those side effects. Like,
it's trial and error. I had to try like 5 or 6 things before I got something that was working. And...
But it doesn't affect your creativity?
I hope not. I don't know.
That's
if it
true.
Does, I don't know about it. I mean, I think it must improve my creativity because when I'm depressed, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went from like being like the president of like, if you can imagine, I was like very type A and like A student, president of everything, a million activities, to like nothing on my walls, not doing anything, just like nothing.
Just kind of a goth kid almost.
Yeah.
Who probably didn't look like a goth kid.
I was pretty bland. Like I was like, if I showed you pictures of me from that time, I like blended. I was just real blah.
And the, okay. Because I just, you know, I've thought about the pills, but I kind of just, I don't know. I don't think I want, I'm too like, I'm going to work all this shit out myself.
Well, you also are like creative without, like you feel like you're creative and have a career and it's not like I was neutral. I was just like, nothing good was going
to
happen.
You seem like a super driven person to me. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I wasn't when I was depressed.
But not in an obnoxious way, just like, okay, she's on it.
I try to be, yeah. Because I feel like, you know, some people have that thing where they're just like, great things happen to them that they had nothing to do with. They're like, can you believe it? And something happens out of nowhere. Like, that's not usually, my usual thing is like, okay, I have to think of an idea and make it happen or it will not happen. So it's like forced me to be ambitious. Like I would like not to be. I'd love people to just hand me opportunities. Like that's my ideal.
Do you have a ritual? Do you have a work ritual? Like, I mean, obviously
kind
aside
of.
From the shooting schedule, but like.
Kind of. Do you?
No, I'd like to. I mean, I have a ritual. I get up and I go to a coffee shop, but do I pour out the writing? Not necessarily.
Right. Yeah, mine doesn't always work. I do. Well, I don't always have a ritual, but I do this thing with my best friend. We call it writing vacations. And we'll go to, like, you know, Ojai or somewhere like near LA, just somewhere nice, somewhere with a pretty view. And we will wake up at 10 or like 9 or 10, like walk around, have some coffee, have some breakfast. And then we split up and he works on his thing and we both write from 10 to 1. And then we have lunch.
That's crazy because I was just proposing this to
a friend of yours?
Yes.
Oh, wait, you have to. Okay, so I'll tell you my thing and see if you want to do it. So get up, have a ton of caffeine. Like I like to be super caffeinated. So we write from 10 to 1 and then we get together and have like a light lunch and sort of like maybe if we have anything we're stuck on. Like sometimes we just talk about other things, but usually like we'll problem solve a little bit with each other. Separate again, 2 to 5, we write separately. 5 o'clock, we get together, have a glass of wine, and then sort of just like, again, like troubleshoot and like prepare for the next day of like things. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll work on that tomorrow. And then we have like a great dinner. The whole rest of the day is off after 5.
That's what I was thinking.
It's the best.
Because, yeah.
It's so productive because you just wrote for 6 hours and had another like super, you had like a super talented friend giving you advice to bounce your stuff off of.
But you're doing two different projects.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a very parallel situation.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of forces you to write because like you're like, oh, there's my friend over there writing. Like, and you talk about what you wrote. So you kind of have to do it.
And where do you get an Airbnb or do you? Because that's like, what I was looking at.
Yeah, Airbnb or like we'll go to like the Ojai Valley Inn and Spa or, you know, just anywhere.
See, I almost, is the spa make you lazy though? Or I guess not.
No, it's just like, it's a golf course pretty much. And so you just look out on this beautiful sort of golf aesthetic. It's just like a pretty view.
And everything you need is there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the good part is you don't have to bring food and stuff. You can just have someone bring you a glass of wine. But Airbnb is also nice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do this.
You should copy it. It's the best. And then it's like such a good bonding thing with like whoever your friend is. Like you can, because you just have like 5 on to just like hang out because you did your work. You tried your best. You did your work. And so it's just like fun night and like bonding. My best friend and I have been doing it for years and we love it.
Do you? So this is not like a boyfriend that you do this?
Nope.
Okay.
Just a regular friend. I went last week with him to Ojai, this friend of mine.
How far is Ojai from?
It's like 45 minutes.
Oh, wait. Is that like in India or something? Or is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Or near Palm Springs?
Think so?
I don't know.
Everywhere,
I was taking a stab in the dark there.
Everywhere feels like an hour outside of LA where I don't exactly know what direction I'm going in. Like I just GPS it.
Do you
You should do it with your friend. It's so inspiring. I mean I love it. I feel like everyone should do it.
I think I'm gonna try to do it.
Yeah.
And
then you can also be like you can like feel good to like be nice to yourself. You're like, no, I'm gonna get a nice glass of wine or I'm gonna like not worry about anything until tomorrow.
I was looking at like Airbnb kind of places where she might want to bring her cat.
Right. There
which
you
I
go.
Think would be great. She brought her cat.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've yet to meet her cat yet. And yeah, that would be just travel, get on a train with a cat.
Mm-hmm. And you just
get that. You're like, hey, talk to you in 2 hours when we're done writing. Mm-hmm. And then
it's so nice to like say your thing out loud that you're working on and then like because sometimes you can hear where the bullshit is or where the problem is, like when you're discussing it. You're like, oh, wait, that's not. Okay, how do I fix that?
Do you guys go in separate rooms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is there like an agreement, like seriously don't talk to me for 2 hours or is there?
Yeah, no. It's yeah, for 3 hours we don't talk. We don't text, nothing. We just.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So you get 6 hours of work done and you're on vacation.
That's great.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi.
I'm trying to write new songs now, and so it's been like I'm trying to get my creative juices flowing. Because we just edited our show for like 3 or 4 months, and now I'm like I need to get into creativity.
Are you on top? Do you sit in on the editing?
Oh my, constantly. Yeah, like right. I told you that I have a call later today. It's me Skyping into the sound edit. So like, because they're doing my sound notes, but I want to see them over Skype.
what would sound notes be? I mean, it's not the quality of the sound, right?
No, they do like a sound pass, and then usually I go. It's like a 3-hour session where they play you each act and with these great speakers. And then you just take notes because there's like a just kind of like a taste thing about it. I'm like, you know, that applause sounds like too many people or that like you just, you know, how you want it mixed. Like that music's too loud. That music's too soft. Like that doorbell's, you know, corny. Like what, you know, whatever you want.
That shit is it's pretty amazing because I think all these people amazing. Are like unsung heroes of all the TV shows
they're
and the movies.
They're so talented and they work so hard. They're so good.
Because I'd sat in a lot on the editing one for my thing that's on Netflix, my crowd work thing. Mm-hmm. And there was just thing like color correction. I had no idea. And the guy's just like, here's you in San Francisco.
Oh my God.
You're like, whoa, look at the blue sky.
Popping, yeah, like popping up. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But those guys, those they don't get recognized like we do.
No, they really don't. I think they like working with me though, because they know, because I recognize, you know, because I sit in, like, yeah. I'm one of those, like most like actresses don't sit in and like be like, wow, you did an amazing job with the Walla in there. And they'll be like, oh, thanks, you know.
Right. You're
I'm into it.
Appreciative.
Yes. Friendly. I really like sound and I like doing it. So.
Who was saying, I think it was Michael Moore was saying, like, that's the number one priority if you're making your own movie is the sound.
It is totally the difference between garbage and a real thing. Because it can kind of look how you, however, like, people don't care about bad, like, grainy video or homemade, but they care. If it sounds weird, they think it's a piece of shit and they don't even know why.
Yeah, I mean, I had that issue with my podcast until I got these killer three for $39 microphones. No, which are actually like, sound good. But early on, I had like one of those bulb mics or whatever you call it. It's like
right.
A thing right in the center.
Right.
And it was fine.
The omnidirectional.
But people, you know, there are people who sounds like shit. Like, right. Okay, well.
And then sometimes someone will have a booming voice and it'll dry. Oh, and also, you have such a sort of quiet voice. Yeah. I can see you getting drowned out by some loud comedian.
Bullies. Fucking bullies. You had a podcast about inspiration. Is that what it was?
It was just about like asking people like how they started in show business. It was mostly because I was curious. Like I just wanted to know. And then like I just got too busy. But it was fun.
How many did you get under your belt there?
I think like 50. So I did
50.
It.
50. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did it for a year. But it was just, at some point I was just like, I didn't have time anymore.
I haven't been pumping them out every week because I just feel like, first of all, you're just like, I'm running out of people to ask.
Right.
And I'm not like, you know, I'm not like Marin where, like, the president said he wanted to do my podcast, I'd be like, I'd love it, but no.
Really?
I think I'd be just like, too, like, because I would be, I like, mean, I would have taken lot. More of the Seinfeld. Did you see these comedians in cars? Obama.
I haven't seen that. Is it good?
Yeah, I mean, he talks to him just like, he shows him no, like, he's not disrespectful, but right. He just asks him, like, so your underwear drawer. Like, just shit like the stuff like that.
That's funny.
So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I would want to know, like, the day-to-day of what it's like to be the president.
I can't even imagine.
Do you, like, let's say you're hungry, you want some whole wheat toast in the middle of the night. Do you go actually toast it, or is there a guy waiting there by the toaster?
Right, and it's, like, definitely a guy waiting. It's definitely a button where you're like, toast, please.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Or you text someone, toast, please.
I would like some toast.
Yeah.
Signed, the president.
Right. They can't have him walking around. That's like probably not like in front of all the windows. That's secure. Like,
have you ever been to the White House?
No, but like I'm sure he can't be just roaming around.
Yeah, I took a tour, like it was semi-insider tour, but I also knew it was like there was so many levels before you're like seeing him in his bathrobe.
Right.
He's not walking by the, you know, like, because no. They screen my social security number. Like, oh, everything's safe out
there. He's legit. Yeah.
It's like, but that sucks to have a house and not even to be able to walk into. It only leaves you with like 30,000 square feet of.
Who knows? Maybe he can. Maybe he's.
Are you, what was I just going to ask you? Oh,
about podcasting? Or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just like knowing people's origin. Like, I think when I first moved to LA, I had that thing of, you know, it was sort of before internet was, you know, a lot of information. Like it was just kind of not a lot on the internet at that point. And so I literally moved to LA with a book called How to Make It in Hollywood. And I did everything wrong. And I just was in weird acting classes. And I thought maybe I should go to clubs because you read like this actor was like at a club and they got a movie. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like I didn't know what to do. And so it was kind of like curious for me, and then also like for people who are like me from small towns, although there is internet now so people can figure it out.
Yeah, I was just talking about this the other day also, where sometimes you'll read in a magazine article about Bob moved from Montana to LA. He soon landed a part. It's like, how did he get that part?
I know. And also, but more than that, how did he get the audition for the part?
Yeah,
that's the hardest thing. Yeah. Like, how is he in the room of 10 people that are auditioning, or even 50 people? How did he get in that room?
I hate when they leave that detail out.
They always leave it out.
He was a farm boy, and 2 years later, he's on a TV show. Well, something happened between those two things.
Right, and also, like, what is, like, it's such a, they act like the auditioning process is so grueling. They'll be like, and after months of grueling auditions, he finally got it. And I was like, how did he get an audition for a Steven Spielberg movie in 2 months? Like, what happened? Like,
right.
And also, auditioning is not hard. Not getting auditions is hard. That's what I was going through. I couldn't get, I didn't know a single person, and I was just so, like, how? And like, I think that's why I did the podcast, because I wanted to know. And like, almost everyone on the podcast did not have, like, some people had like a good luck story where they were like, it was crazy, I was interning, and then they were like, hey, do you want to audition? And then I got the lead. Like, there was a couple people like that. And you're like, okay, so it exists. It's not totalized, but like most people were like, so for 8 years I did stand up every single night, right, and then finally they let me do two lines on this, and you know.
Yeah, that's all. See, that sounds. I can listen to these, right?
Yeah, you can. Right. Yeah, I wonder whose you would like. They're just. It's interesting. They're just all very different.
Well, it wasn't all comedians, though, right?
No, there was actors and writers and improvisers, just all sorts of.
Yeah, because there is that thing. Like, even I just think about. You know, sometimes you got to go, man, how cool is it that you, like, say some huge band, like, how did you get to the point where you're like. You're playing hockey arenas.
Right.
Like, you just started this band, and then it's just crazy the way, you know, it's crazy how successful you can be.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, some people have that story where it's like, yeah, we were playing in a basement and, you know, Jimmy Iovine saw us and gave us and then we were in stadiums. But like most people, yeah. That's not true for me anyway. I didn't.
How's your special doing? It's on Vimeo, right?
We just got nominated for an Emmy.
Holy shit.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh,
from the special.
I'm glad I didn't know that, because that's a
yeah,
nice
thing. Yeah, it's this. Wow. We got nominated for best music and lyrics for a song. Yeah. It was like, when I say it was unexpected, it was true. Like, I didn't even think that was like, I didn't look at the, I mean, like, I did not think that was a possibility.
How did you find out?
My friend's boyfriend is a publicist for some musician who got nominated. And so his boyfriend called me. He's like, Ricky got nominated. And then he called me. I was like, for what? Like, I was like, is it for another period? Like, what? And then he's like, no, it's this song. We wrote this song called Frozen Lullaby, and it's up for best song.
Wow, that's great.
Isn't that crazy? It was so unexpected.
So is that going to be during the primetime?
No, sadly.
It's like the day.
It's the Creative Arts Emmys, which is like a week before.
Like noon at the Sheraton or
yes,
something?
Yes, exactly. But hey, I'm still wearing
no,
like
it's still like
a
an Emmy,
long
yeah.
dress, and I'm still.
Do you get to go to the main one?
No.
No?
No. But, you know, I'm
no, that's still, I'm not.
I feel like it's like, I know, great. I feel like my mom was a little disappointed because she's like, oh my gosh, it's going to be. And I was like, well, it's actually like a week before and it's not televised. And she was like, oh.
What do they call those?
The Creative Arts Emmys.
Creative Arts Emmys.
Or the premium.
But that's still huge.
Yeah. It's, no, I'm so excited. Yeah. That's but I remember my mom was like, just kept talking about, you get it, the gown and like all the red carpet and the, you know, and I was like, oh, it's not totally that, but. Still very excited.
Yeah. And it's also for something you wrote as opposed to like, you yeah. know, maybe art direction or something, mm-hmm. which would be great for the art director.
But. Absolutely. But yeah, it's like kind of big because, you know, Kate and I have been writing songs for animated movies and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We've been doing that a lot. And like, it's probably really good as far as that goes. It's probably like a good booster for that. Because like most of the songs we've written haven't come out yet, and they're because animated movies take forever and you have to sign like a major non-disclosure agreement. So we can't. Tell anyone, so we can't get another job because we can't be like, hey, we just wrote this, see, because you can't tell your next prospective employer.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
So only one of the songs we've written have come out. We wrote a song for the SpongeBob movie and that one came out, and then but all the other ones are still just
so
top
do you get
secret
like a soundtrack royalty kind of, or do people buy soundtracks? People don't buy records.
I don't know how it works. I wish I did.
I go right for the money question.
I don't know. I should actually find that out because I really don't know. I definitely haven't seen like some huge boost in my income, but so I don't, I should figure that out actually. Should look into it because.
That's, how did you get that gig?
It was our first movie soundtrack gig and we actually wrote the song called The Loophole, which is about girls, Christian girls saving their virginity till they're married, but having anal sex.
Uh-huh.
And
I was going to guess it.
Yeah. But the SpongeBob guys had seen it and the song is very like a Broadway musical style. And it was, you know, it's like funny in Broadway musical style and they, we're trying to find a songwriter for this thing and someone had just not worked out. And so they were just meeting people and we went in and we, you know, we're basically like, well, we're free. You know, we need this job. Like we've never been in a movie. Like,
yeah.
And like, it can't be free because they have to pay you like whatever the minimum is. But we're like,
oh, you meant free as in we'll work for free.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're like,
meant available.
We're like, we would do anything to write a song. I mean, it's so hard to get in that door.
Yeah.
It's like impossible.
Yeah,
you would
yeah.
The fact that
away.
We even got a meeting, we're like, so we'll just write it. And then, but they have to like pay you something like this. We're like, great. We're minimum, like whatever it is. Like we really want to do this. And so we ended up getting a shot and we wrote them a song and then they ended up liking it.
Now, did you just write a song based on what they told you or did you? Was there something you watched?
No, they showed us
the
yeah, they showed us the animatic, which is like the sort of like rough version of the animation where it's not really colored in yet, and it's sort of
a rough draft.
Yeah, it's like sort of like skips around and stuff. But we watched that, and they're like, "This is what we need to cover, and this is like the plot we need to cover. This is what needs to happen." And this is, and we watched the, yeah, we watched the whole movie, and then they're like, this is the place where the number is. And so.
And is it a full, it's a full length song? Or
yeah.
That was a dumb question, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty.
That's great.
Yeah, it was cool.
And that's gotta be one of those things where you do one and then you get, then you're in the loop.
Yeah. We like sort of are, you know, it's like, there's not that many animated movies that come out. There seems like a ton, but like that with musical numbers, there's just not, there's like a couple a year or something. Maybe, you know,
maybe you'll get an Oscar nomination.
I hope so.
How long does it take you to write a song on average?
It depends. Like sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it takes like a couple weeks, but sometimes.
So you never have this thing, like, because sometimes you'll hear like, yes, I picked up the guitar and 4 minutes later had the song. Okay. I think there's, you're not telling the truth.
Yeah. You know, so a couple times that's happened, like, it, like a couple times, like not like when we wrote a song for The Big Bang Theory that like I'm actually super proud of. I think it's like one of the best songs we've ever written. We wrote it because Kate was on The Big Bang Theory and I was on The Big Bang Theory once, like years ago, but she was like recurring on it. And they sort of saw our songs and whatever. And they said, hey, do you want to try to write this? And because we just done SpongeBob. And I'm like, yeah, totally. And we, this song we wrote came out so fast. And we were just like, whoa, I think it might be good. Like, I think it might be. And they'd asked us maybe for, I think it was like a 45 second to 1 minute song. And we wrote this 2 minute song. And we're like, can we turn this in like this? And we're like, we don't know because we're so green. And we're like, we'll just turn it in and they could make us cut it in half. And Chuck Lorre just loved it. He was like, don't change anything. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. We got to like pretend to be music supervisors for a week or whatever. Like we sat on set, like, you know, da da da. Like,
yeah. Put my song right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. After he said that, boom.
Kate and I basically just sat around excited. We were like, hee hee hee, like trying not to be like, whoa, can you believe it?
Do you have time to do other acting?
Some. Yeah. It's hard to know. Like it has to be something that's really fun or like worth it.
What's the shooting day for like another period? Is it brutal or is it pretty standard?
It's kind of brutal for Natasha and I. It's pretty standard for everyone else. It's like 12-hour day. We can't go over because we're low budget, so we can't afford overtime. Right. It just gets so expensive. Like the crew just like doubles their set. Like we just can't do it. Yeah. But we, you know, Natasha and I are like, we like to get there super early because hair and makeup and period hair and stuff, it takes so long.
Yeah.
And we don't want to miss being at the monitors. So we like getting there before anyone else and we'll get our hair and makeup done. And then, you know, we want to see all the scenes. And so, and then at the end of the day, we'll have meetings and rewrites and things.
Is it the same director for every episode?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That helps a lot.
Yeah. I was wondering because sometimes shows use like, I wonder like, is it hard to be consistent when you have bouncing around? But maybe not. I guess if the director does their homework. But.
Well, our shows, like, we are very low budget. And so we have to shoot all 10 episodes as block shooting. Do you know what block shooting is?
I can guess, but
so
what is it?
So basically, it's like, usually shows block shoot two things at most where they're like, you know, if there's like two episodes and there's like four scenes in a living room, they'll shoot scenes. But we shoot 10 episodes worth of living room scenes.
You're constantly going out of order.
Yes, constantly. Like,
nine episodes away from God.
We'll do scenes from six different episodes in one day.
That sounds almost fun in a way.
It is.
It's so random, you know, you don't even have to try anymore.
Right. But that's why Natasha and I need to be there. We need to be like, hey, everyone, like, this is what happened before. This is where you're at emotionally. Like, this is, you know, just making sure everyone's like up on what's happening.
Would that be a line producer figures all that shit out?
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing line producer is, you know. And, you know, we're in there like helping as much as we can. But I mean, they don't need us that much. But like sometimes when they're like, hey, so you have three scenes that are really hard to shoot. You pick one. We can afford one. So we'll be like, OK. And so we'll pick the one we like. And yeah, we'll pick one we like. And then we'll rewrite the other two to make them, you know, in a living room or, you know, no extras or whatever. Yeah.
Instead of in the Grand Canyon.
Yes. Yes. We do have a scene in a hot air balloon. And one at Niagara Falls. So those were like kind of two big expenses.
And you really
expenses.
Shot at Niagara Falls?
No, we did not. So, no, but for us, it was expensive.
Can I be in the show?
Yes. We had a part for you. We did. We had a part for you last year. I don't know if Natasha told you that. I don't remember what it was, but then it ended up getting cut before we shot it. It was because our cast changed a lot last year. We had three different actors who late in the writing process got other shows and said they could only do three episodes. So then we're like, oh my God. And so everything kind of switched around.
Was Michael Ian Black the troublemaker?
No, he was in every episode.
Damn.
I don't want to be biased, but he's my favorite on the show. Mr. Peepers is my favorite character.
I like Michael. I'm just hoping he's listening and even takes anything I said as possibly an insult.
Right. Twitter war.
Yeah, I would love to be on your show.
That'd be amazing. What would you play? What was it before? I can't remember. Ah, that was a good story. But yeah, there was, oh, maybe it was, it might have been a love interest for, so we had these characters called the Nags, which we want to bring back next year, but Kate Micucci is one of them. Uh-huh. And it was a love interest for, I think, one of the Nags, which, like, you were like a coal shoveler or something. It's, we go through a lot of ideas before we land on.
I'll do any idea.
I feel like it'd be fun to see you as like a prince or like, you know, some like high powered.
Like a prince who doesn't, not a, an ill-mannered prince.
Yeah. Like someone who's like high, high status, you know.
But is kind of edgy and down to earth. And
totally.
Just kind of a pig.
Yeah. All those things.
You can write all those down.
Got it.
Remember when we did a show in San Francisco?
I will never forget it.
And do you want to tell the story? I guess we
Well, it's your podcast. You tell it.
We did a show, and I was at the Sketch Fest, and it was your show, mm-hmm. and I don't think I had anything to do, so I was like, oh, I'll go see that, mm-hmm. hang out.
And it was us and Reggie Watts were splitting the bill.
Right, and it was at a place, maybe we don't need to,
It was like a club.
It was at a club where they didn't do a lot of comedy, let's put it that way.
They did a lot of nice techno. Club.
They did a lot of techno, and I'm guessing rap, and mm-hmm. and the bounce, I just walked in. Well, you, first of all, they wouldn't let you in.
So it was like kind of raining, and you know, Todd was in front of us, and you know, they see Todd and they're like, yeah, go right ahead. And I'm sure like you didn't realize that they were like, they like looked at Kate and I, they go, back of the line, ladies, all these bouncers.
He harassed me also.
Oh,
he did? Yeah, I got into it with him a little bit.
Oh, I don't remember that part. Like, you have to tell me this.
He just wouldn't let me in. So I go, can I just walk in? I don't know if I had a pass. I go, I'm part of the festival. He's like, right. No, you can't. And then he was kind of like, and I was getting really mad, and he was kind of doing that thing where like, I'm a big guy mm-hmm. and I can't punch you, but. So I'm going to pretend I'm amused by it. Mm-hmm. But he was a jerk. And then
that makes sense why he was so mean to us. Because I didn't realize that you guys, it was like loud and raining. And maybe I didn't realize you guys had an altercation. Because he turned around and he's like, back of the line, ladies. We're like, no, it's our, like, that's our name. Like, that's us. And he like didn't believe us. And he was just like, yeah, right. And Kate and I were like, we are at an impasse. Like, we have to go. And then I tried to just walk right by. And all these bouncers were like physically blocked me. And I was like, you guys, like, what do we do? You have to check. Like, I'm telling you that I'm the performer. Me and Kate, we're performing tonight.
Did you have guitars in your hands?
Oh, yeah. We're in dresses. We're holding guitars. And we're like, I'm like, you, I don't know what to tell you. Like, and they just like wouldn't check. And I was like, what part of you feels like there's no possible way I could be telling the truth? Like, not even, you won't even check. Like, what part? And then we just started, like, and he was just like, get to the back. Don't talk to me. Like, get the, and I was like, and he goes, let me see some ID. I'm like, it doesn't say Garfunkel. Like, I can't help. Like,
those are stage names.
It's stage name.
Not on my
driver's license. And he was like, well, then I don't think, and I was like, you have to go ask someone. And he was like, no, I got to be the bouncer. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. We said to the people in line, we're like, who are you here to see? And they're like, you. And he was like, come on. Like, it was the craziest thing.
Yeah, because those, I've had bouncer situations where you're like, all right, I understand you're trying to stop people from sneaking in.
Totally.
But some people who are like, I'm with the band are actually with the band.
Right. And at some point you have to check. If someone's like, listen.
You can't assume, you got to be on guard for some shithead who's going to come sneak in. But
right.
Some people, and also like, you guys are clearly, you know, you're carrying guitars. You're well-mannered.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen.
You're not troublemaker.
No, you've seen Kate Micucci's face. Yeah, like, yeah. Kate Micucci's not there to, like, deal drugs. Like,
Kate Micucci's not someone who's, like, should be tackled by a bouncer.
No, she was freaked out. She was just backing up, and
I got very mad. They sent the guy to apologize.
Yeah, they sent, like, him and, like, his whole crew of people who'd sort of physically blocked me. Like, they all came up, but they sent him, like, 1 second before I went on stage, and I was like, I gotta, can I talk to you out? Like, he's like, I'm sorry that I, and I was like, you're forgiven, but I'm like, but you gotta go. And then he was like, no, I want to. And I was like, I can't talk to you. Like, he like started blocking us with like, I'm like, I'm going on stage. You're forgiven. Bye. Like, you know, and I talked to him afterwards. I was like, okay, no problem. We're cool. But I was also like, I can't give you my time right before I perform also.
That'd be funny. He's like, I'm not letting you on stage.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I still don't think it's, I'm not convinced.
I know they're calling your name, but not until I apologize.
Saw the poster with your picture on it.
Right.
I'm not convinced.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
It was a weird, like, tense, like, the guy just, like, his whole, it was like, we were, like, affronting his manhood or something. He was so mad.
I'll tell you my Slash concert.
Oh, my gosh.
Bouncer story.
Okay.
I sort of know Slash a little bit, not real tight, but I somehow met him, and then we emailed occasionally. Mm-hmm. So I went to his show, and I was on his guest list in New York, and I go up there and go, hey, I'm on the guest list. There's no guest list. There's no guest list. Wow. That's, I've never heard of him. So a famous guy's doing a show in the biggest city in the country,
right.
And that's not made one friend?
Nope.
in the history.
No one's coming. His wife's not coming.
No friends, no cousins, no record company shitheads.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it made me so angry because it's just like you're just pointlessly bullying.
So he wouldn't even check.
He wouldn't. And then, so, you know, I think I got there too early. But just tell me it's not. Just go for assholishness right away.
Don't be like, fuck you. Go, hey, you know what's, we're going to be getting the guest list in about 20 minutes.
Right.
You'd be like, great, I'm going to have coffee.
Right.
It would have been like so easy. Like, even if that bouncer guy's like, listen, I have to check with people, I'll be back. I'm like, great. Thanks. Yeah. See you in a sec.
I feel like I've told that story on the podcast, but it bears repeating. It's a good one.
It is good.
But yeah, it was just crazy. It's like, there's no guest. Like, well, man, this is the only show in the history of shows where not one person in the band knows one person. No
that
friends,
wants to come.
No one. It's crazy.
No one's bringing them lunch backstage. Right. Like,
even
access.
Their own manager can't get back.
No it sound was, guys need to get
just,
in.
He just, you know, these guys get this little bit of power, and it's just like, hey man, I'm gonna tell them there's no guest list.
Yeah,
that's
you
shuts
them
down.
Tell their friend. This guy walks up, and I was just like, there is no guest list, and his friends are like, yeah, cheers, have a beer.
There was another time I was going to when I was with UTA, I believe that's an agency.
Mm-hmm.
And there was upfront parties, mm-hmm. and my agent at the time, like, just walked me into this party. She's like, he's with me, and we walked mm-hmm. in. Then I stepped out for some reason, and then I tried to get back in. The guy's mm-hmm. like, no, you're not checked off on the list. I go, I was just, and he goes, no, I don't, I remember everyone. Okay, you remember almost everyone, because you don't remember me.
I remember everyone. That's such an
asshole
thing to
thing
say.
Like, I don't. Basically saying I couldn't possibly make this mistake.
Yeah,
okay,
that's the
that
thing
did.
About bouncers is when they're like, "There's absolutely no way that this is true." It's like, how are you so certain?
But then there's the occasional friendly bouncer.
I feel like most bouncers are friendly.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just the people who are like, "No, I remember. I'm amazing at my job. I'm amazing at standing here.
I'm really good at." And also, it's like whatever shows, like in San Francisco, I don't know what kind of shows you are used to at this place, but it's like, this is comedy nerds. This is not, this, no one's going to, you don't have, there's not going to fight, can be a fight broken out.
And if me and Kate did sneak in somehow, like, what are we going to do?
Right.
What do we look like we're going to do?
Yeah, we brought guitars because we want to, you know, we didn't want to spend $18.
Right.
So we're lugging guitars around.
Right. It's our shtick we do. It's a way to trick people into thinking we're doing comedy as we bring instruments.
Yeah, because it's almost like, okay, then do you know who you're waiting for? Who's going to come do the show? If it's not us. Oh, I was tempted that night to say, hey, I didn't get an apology.
Ooh.
But then you just cool down after a while.
Yeah, you're just like, I honestly didn't care by the time I got in. I was like, because you forget about it because you have to perform. You're like, okay, I'm not going to think about this ever again because I'm not going to let it ruin my...
Right. You
like,
don't, yeah, yes.
You ruined like 5 minutes of my life. You're not ruining my show.
Well, of course.
Like, no way.
No, that's the... That's the psychologically sound thing to do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the time where I thought I Snapchatted you.
Wait, when was that?
I think I started to tell you this
last
time.
Wait, you did, and then I can't remember it.
I was, you know, a few months ago, I was like lying in my bed, waking up, and, you know, shirt off, disgusting, hairy body, and I'm looking at my camera, and I was like, oh, Snapchat, I don't know, I'm not sure how to use this. And I found your name. Oh, I'm going to text Ricky. How do I use Snapchat? And then I just, for a while, I just... And I realize there's several steps now before you can make that mistake.
Yes.
But I was like, I was walking around thinking that I sent you this creepy picture.
Like you just like woke up.
Yeah,
just
like
how do I Snapchat?
Yeah. Tom Barry's sending me a picture of him with his chest on. It seems to be a little not what I was expecting. But
hey, am I doing it right?
But I was, I, you know, you do that thing where you're like, you're formulating the apology and you're like, trust me, and then I ran into you the next day.
Yeah.
And
oh,
you were
yeah.
nice to me. I was like, okay, I guess I didn't send it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I remember you saying, did I X? And I was like, nope, I don't.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
If you did, it did not go through.
Oh, my God. That was a...
I love running into you in New York.
I know. I'm fun, right?
It's so fun.
I'm a blast.
Yeah.
Do you...
We hung out at the Bowery last time I saw you. It was really fun.
And you get to stay at posh hotels. Do you get to pick your hotel here?
Sometimes. This time I didn't, but it's still like where I'm staying. But, yeah, it's fun. I like to pick. I'd like to try. I mean, you can pick hotels if you pick far in advance, because then it's like a reasonable.
That Bowery's great, though.
Yeah, but you can't like pick the Bowery the day before because it's too expensive. They're like, so no, we're not paying that. So.
What is it, like $1,200 a night or something?
I don't think. I mean, I always get it small rooms. So I don't think it's that much, but I think it's like maybe $800 if you do it last minute.
So many celebs there, man.
There really are.
Who have you seen there? I just met the other night. I met. I was going to see Sarah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I saw Sarah Silverman the last time I saw you there.
Sarah, really nice, down to earth.
Yep.
But Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning walked by.
I've seen Kristen Stewart there.
And so she was saying hi to Sarah, and then she was, hi, Kristen. And then she gave me a little pat on the way out.
Like, well, thanks, man.
Hi, I'm more famous and richer than
yes,
you.
Yes, know, goodbye.
She was perfectly nice.
We one time Kristen Stewart was staying there, and Kate and I were there for some reason, and we were leaving, and there was like this whole team of paparazzi waiting outside, and we got like, we called it just in case paparazzi, because we walk out, you know, there's like 20 photographers, and we walk out, and like one guy goes and goes click, and then we just walked by. It was so awkward because everyone else kind of looked at us and thought, nah, but he was like, it was really like, I guess if they're walking by.
I had a similar experience there where there was some, they were waiting for someone, and I see a guy look at me, and he kind of did this thing where he's sneaking shots. It's like, hey, I'll pose for
right,
you.
Right, yeah.
Good luck with that. You don't have to... Like, I was just looking. If I'm, how famous am I if I'm standing there waiting to see which famous person is walking out of the hotel?
I was so happy to see Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, she looks so healthy and great.
Yeah, that, what she was telling me about that. My God.
I can't even believe that happened to her. And it was just like, I'd seen someone had told me about it, and then just I saw her, like, I ran into her, like, the next day. I was just so like, oh, she looks so good. She doesn't look sick at all. She looks, like, perfectly... I was like, oh... It's just such a relief.
It was weird because I found out about that. Like, I was in a coffee shop and I saw it on Twitter. It's like, oh, she's like one of my best friends. And clearly, you know, if she's sick, they're not going to be like, hey, hospital, then call Todd Barry.
Right. Let him know. Well, she was just out of it for days. Yeah, like, she didn't text anybody.
I don't think she, I think it was a, you know, also, why not keep it a secret?
Yeah, that's true. I probably shouldn't even be talking about it. Well, it's already out there. It doesn't matter.
No, I mean, she's diamond. I'm just being like, you don't need people standing in front of the hospital or something.
No. I saw Robert Pattinson once at the Bowery.
Oh, yeah?
Speaking of celebrities of the Bowery, I was like, hey, look at that.
Yeah. I rode the elevator with Flea once, and I was there, and I did something that I never do where I just was, I was like, Flea? And I was like, I would never fucking do that. And he's like, that's me. And I was like, I don't do what I just did. And then I was like, I felt bad, and I was like, that's got to be the least memorable fan. I'm not even, you know, really a big fan.
I take it back. Thanks. Bye.
Like, it was pretty manageable.
Right. But you're like, hey, Flea? Great. I never talk to people. Never mind. He's like, thanks.
Are you a starstruck person?
I have been. I think, when have I been starstruck? I was really obsessed with The State when I was in high school.
I know all those guys if you want their phone numbers.
Well, now I do, but I didn't. And like the first time I met Tom Lennon, I was very starstruck. I saw him at a Super Bowl party, like non-comedy, just like regular, you know, people with regular jobs. And I sat near him and I was just like, I'm such a big fan. Like, I got weird. I think I was like a little strange just because like they're the reason I went into comedy. Uh-huh. Like, they're the reason I moved to LA. So it was a weird like, oh my God, hi. You know.
How are people come up to you? That must happen fairly often, right?
People are, almost everyone's nice. Almost everyone. Like, the only weird things I've ever gotten are like someone who like brings me like a naked picture of myself to sign, or like, you know, that there's those kind of things, and I'm like, oh,
get this naked picture
online, or they will or like some, like, I've had it's only maybe happened two or three times, but people will like say stuff to me and be like, they'll say like something weird of like, you think you're prettier than Kate, but you're not. And I'm like, wait, what? Why would you say that to, like, she's like my best friend. Like, what are you talking about? Like, Kate would not be happy about
someone
you saying this
to
me.
To
it's only happened a couple times where people would be like,
it happened one time.
People would be like, you know what? Like, they're like telling me off. They're like, you know what? I like Kate better. And I'm like, cool. And I want to be like, you know, Kate wouldn't like you saying that to me because I'm her friend. And I'm no
it's
one.
So weird. Like,
they're like perceiving some like competition or perceiving like, yeah, those are the only weird interactions I've ever had. Have you ever had any weird?
Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes I think it's my fault because I think I get so visibly uncomfortable. but other times it is not my fault. And, you know, it's like drunks.
Right.
And they don't walk away.
Right.
And you're like, I don't know how to end. How do we end this?
Right. And then if you try to, they'll be like, what? Am I not famous enough to talk to?
They tweet like, he was an asshole to me. No, I talked to you for 5 brutal minutes.
Right. I gave you a lot.
While my friends were sitting in the corner waiting for me.
Right. Like, I gave you a lot of time.
Yeah.
Like, I did. I was nice to you.
It's tough being moderately famous. I gotta... Where do you live in L.A.? You
Hollywood.
Right in Hollywood proper?
Yeah, right in Hollywood. I love it.
I just stayed at the Roosevelt.
Nice.
But man,
which is a nice hotel, but yeah. just walking that on a weekend, like Hollywood Boulevard is...
It's intense.
It's too much.
There's a lot of people. It's a lot of, like, yeah, sometimes I walk down Hollywood Boulevard. I live, like, close to there, and sometimes I'll walk down there, and I'm just like, whoa, this is a lot. Like,
do you have a house?
No.
Apartment?
Just apartment, yeah. I don't want a house. Like, I don't want to ever have a yard.
Yeah, I like apartments.
Me too. I don't know why people... Like, houses feel, like, kind of dangerous for some reason.
Do you feel more vulnerable?
Yeah, like, I live by myself. I don't want to live, like... alone in a house where people can just knock on my window or
right
no thanks like I like to have
is your you apartment know. Pretty fancy
I like it
oh that means it is fancy that means you were trying to hide the fact that it's fancy but I mean, not really saying it's not fancy
I mean what do I can't be like no it's gross like it's cute I like it it's like for one person like it's not you know
is it a one bedroom
yeah it's just like it's a loft it's like one room but it's
oh, it's a loft
it's a loft oh. and it's just one room but it's like I like it. I like my view, and it's just nice for it's. You know.
Rent it.
Yep, and it's cute, and I like it.
Do you like going to Bed Bath and Beyond?
I do. I do sometimes. Well, sometimes it depends on if I'm in that mood. I don't really like doing domestic things, but like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll go and pretend I'm going to buy something.
I always go there, and then I'm like, oh, the store has everything, and then I leave with a toothbrush or something.
My parents were making fun of me because I really don't have a lot of kitchen stuff. Like I don't have stuff, and. My mom was visiting me recently and she wanted to make something and she goes, where are the lids for your pots? And I was like, oh, I threw those away. And she was like, wait, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, why would I keep those? She's like, well, you need them for, and I was like, no, I've had these pots for 8 years. I never used the lids. I'm ready to let that go. And she was like, but it could, and I was like, I don't cook anything. I'm not dragging these lids from apartment to apartment. And I threw them away and it felt so good.
So are you... You're not a cluttered person.
No. I don't like stuff. I don't like I don't.
So you don't get emotionally attached to like pot lids or something?
No. Like? I'm like to the point where I read this book, That Magic of Tidying Up. Did you read that?
I've glanced at it and I do a bit about it.
What is it?
Oh, it's too
long. Well, I guess I don't want you to.
It's a powerful bit, mm-hmm. but it's too long. But
the best thing I read though, she was talking about, you know, manuals, like with your refrigerator, like you have all these manuals. She's like, so what you do with the manuals is you throw them out and then never think about it again. And I was like, oh, she's like, you're not going to fix your fridge. You're not going to look online. Even. Like, if you right. wanted to, you could look online for right. the directions. You're never going to do that. I took all my manuals, threw them in the garbage, and I was like, I will never need these.
Yeah, I think I have one sitting around here for like a hard drive that I bought. Yeah,
right.
It's right here.
Yeah. It's like right in the garbage. And the ones refrigerators are so big, like
yeah.
garbage. Yeah.
But sometimes the clutter becomes so, you just like, all right, I threw away my hard drive manual. It's like, I don't, my apartment still looks the same.
Right.
I think it's just the you just got to keep.
You got to be brutal. You got to be like, I kind of have this thing where I'm like, I mean, some things you have to save, like a hard drive, like you don't want to throw that away.
No.
But if you haven't used something in a year, like what are you doing?
I know. That's part of my bit.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need a cheese grater. I'm going to give it away. Because I was like, I'm like, maybe there will be a time when I grate cheese, but probably not.
Right. I've accumulated many, many t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I should just give those away, right?
Yep. Yep.
It's like, how many Comedy Central t-shirts do I need?
But I
but I get emotionally attached, you know, because it's like, oh, I remember they gave me that. And then some of it's like, I don't remember them.
Well, then maybe you should keep it. If you like something,
yeah.
that's the magic of tidying up. If you look at it and you're like, oh, I like that, then you keep it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. But you probably don't look at that manual and you're like, I need it.
No, that one, I am excited about throwing that out.
See,
I might hand it to you on the way out to throw my trash. But
I was just had to check, but I'm good.
No, we're actually... I think we can wrap shit up.
I love seeing you when I'm in New York.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I don't have that many friends in New York, and I like it's nice to know someone here who's like, you know, knows like cool stuff and like lives in a fun area. And, you know.
Please don't reveal that I live in a fun area.
It's you guys. It's right in the middle of Fun Zone. It's Fun Central. You gotta find. You just track him down.
How long are you in town for?
Till tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow I go to Vegas for the Farfel Glenwood thing.
You getting in the night before?
Yeah.
I like getting in the night before gigs.
Me too. I don't love worrying about my flight being delayed.
Right. Or waking up at 7 a.m. to fucking then taking a weird nap.
I don't nap, so I really don't like it.
You don't nap?
I've never napped in my life, nor do I sleep on planes. So.
Yeah, I can't sleep on planes either. But you want that bed. That's interesting.
Well, because I can go into sort of like, I can go in like a Twilight thing. Like I'll turn on like a really boring show like Murder, She Wrote.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll just be like watching it and just sort of like in this sort of in and out, like not quite sleep, but not quite awake. And I feel rested.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing.
I have a theory sometimes that I am sleeping and I don't realize that I'm sleeping.
Oh.
Because like time will pass. I go, did I even go to sleep? And then you're like, I don't think I just laid there with my eyes closed for 7 hours, right. Did I?
Maybe I am sleeping and I don't know it.
Maybe you're like a really great plane sleeper.
That could be. What are you doing this weekend? Do you have shows?
I'm doing a show with Louis tomorrow at Forest Hill Stadium.
Oh, wow. Where's Forest Hill Stadium?
In Queens.
Wow.
That's where they do the U.S. Open.
Oh, my gosh. That's so,
like,
cool.
11,000 people. Yeah.
Whoa, that's so exciting. Yeah, are you excited?
Yeah, I get nervous because I've done a handful of huge places. I mean, I did Madison Square Garden with them.
Did you?
Yeah. And
fuck, that's so cool.
It's certainly, you know, you think about it.
Right. I bet you do good in those venues, though.
I mean, I'm not extremely worried about it. Mm-hmm. I never assume that I'll do good, but I mean, especially because I'm on his show.
Right.
So when I walk out there might be a little bit of like,
oh. You had a great monologue on his show.
I know I did.
So good. That's one of my favorite scenes on Louis ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's my Emmy?
I don't know.
Anything you want to plug, Ricky?
Well, we have a show in Vegas on Saturday. There's a Garfunkel Note special on Vimeo that's called Trying to Be Special.
Uh-huh.
And another Periods every Wednesday at 10 on Comedy Central. How good was that? Plug.
That was someone who's done press all day.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Snapchat, Twitter.
Oh,
follow
my God.
Me.
She's got it all. Verified account, too, right?
Verified.
Holy shit. Mm-hmm. This is the welcome to my world. Thanks for being here, Ricky.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yeah. And you people at home, y'all at home, I'll see you next time. Goodbye. Thanks.
Feral Audio.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing the new spicy Cajun chicken sub. Cajun seasoned grilled chicken breast, zesty cherry peppers, and house-made Cajun mayo. Just $5.55 for a medium. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax. Participating locations. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.